The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome on back. Here we go again, our itsy bitsy teensy weensy Saturday morning show. It's part two of Denver's only live and local lineup. Kick it off with Jimmy Jammin' Jimmy. I take you up to the Bird Talk guys, Mike Boyle and the Restaurant Show, and the 710 local hits continue on Sundays, especially starting off with my good buddy, Father Andre, and good Sunday morning at 9:30. We've got the wonderful tribute to veterans that occurs every Sunday at noon here at the American Veterans Show from my good buddy Teffin Subs. Isn't that right? It's Pina Teeters, right? Isn't that what he calls Tita Dough? So how about this Teflon Subs? It's not quite right, but Teffin Subs, American Vet Show, Frontier Freedom Hour with Jeff Hunt from the Centennial Institute, Western Conservative Summit, the good doctor, the historic, the powerful Backbone Radio from 4 to 7, and Scott and Casey Bloyer show up for the Bloyer Effect, which I got to listen to a little bit last Sunday and just loved. I wish I had more freedom on Sundays. I have so many different meetings and video calls, audio calls, different things that show up on different Sundays. But there's just never any reason to change the channel here on 710 KNUS. We are live and local. And as you know, we take your phone calls all morning long, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. Phones are already lighting up, text messages already coming in. Happy early birthday, Randy, from Alexa, of course, often our first texter of the day. No matter what show I'm filling in for or even when this one was on the air, Alexa's so terrific. Thank you for that, Alexa. Tomorrow's my birthday, but more important, the Shenango car show is tomorrow. And so, you know, the family had all these plans that they wanted to do the zoo with the grandkids and, you know, because one of the grandsons has a birthday this week as well. And I just couldn't do it because once a year I'm no longer the president at Shenango, but I'm an integral part and I love attending and doing what I can to make successful the Shenango car show. 200 to 250 cars right there in our neighborhood on this wide open field, food and a DJ and just people enjoying what looks like a beautiful day. I know we've been getting a lot of rain, but it holds off. And if it's true to form tomorrow and holds off till 3 or 4 o'clock, we don't care because our car show tomorrow is from 9 to 2. We're always breaking it down by 2. And then that's when my birthday will officially start, when the family gets back from the zoo and we pay attention to Dad for a change, you know. So much happening this week as well. The Arapaho Tea Party, of course, is back. Can you believe August is here? And the August Arapaho Tea Party meeting, I've got the event up. I put it up last night. I just flew in from Chicago last night, was there for the RNC. Definitely have an update, some reporting for you from that. I think you'll be very, very pleased with so much that went on. And I loved particularly the time I got to spend with Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee was there. He gave a bit of a keynote speech at one event and was also just a tremendous participant during the debate committee's discussion about how the RNC will proceed in presidential debates now that we've withdrawn ourselves. We've said no to the lopsided left-wing presidential debate commission. And, you know, Huckabee, if you've ever watched him on TV or you watch the Huckabee show or when he had the other shows on Fox or any of the things he's done, he's just the same guy everywhere you go. Even-tempered, principled, a good answer for most any question, and wise. I can't say wise beyond his years because he's getting up there in years, but very seasoned in his wisdom. And he's just a joy to be around. So that was a real plus. We'll talk more about that later. As far as the Arapaho Tea Party, those free tickets are available at Eventbrite. I put it up last night without any announcement. Haven't put it on Facebook or Twitter or done anything with it yet. And we've already got about almost 30% of the tickets are gone. So make sure today, and I've been receiving some emails and texts during the week because there was no event up. Make sure you get there and grab those tickets before they sell out. As you know, we have space limitations at South Metro, the Arapaho Tea Party, 6:30 to 8:30 this coming Tuesday. And then, boy, the Lincoln Day dinners back-to-back next Saturday in El Paso with Congresswoman Lauren Boebert as the keynote speaker. Looks like I'm going to be able to attend as well. Very excited about that. And then the week after that, the Boulder Lincoln Day dinner, where I have the honor and the fun of showing up and being your MC. So I just love to see at all these events. It is time to get on board behind the Republican movement here in Colorado. Even the RNC sees some winnable seats here in Colorado right now. And we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, as the show goes on. The chair of the Colorado GOP has a big announcement, and I don't even know what it is. I've been out of town all week, and something's happening next week, and I have no idea what it is. So she's going to call in at 9:25, and we'll learn about it together. Christy Burton Brown at 9:25. Other than that, it's open lines, 303-696-1971. We'll get to callers in this segment, I promise, so do sit tight. One thing I'd like to do, well, let me lay out a couple of things. I am definitely, we didn't get to it last week. I wound up having a surprise in-studio guest, the newest employee at our law firm. And from the response I got, people did enjoy hearing the perspective of a young woman on things like Joe O'Day, who, I don't know, in my mind, continues to shoot himself in the foot with the base of the Republican Party, came out and said he hopes President Trump doesn't run and he won't support him if he does, and more things to add to the abortion controversy. And yet, in spite of all of it, and we'll talk more about this at the Arapaho Tea Party, we have to find our way forward to support as many Republicans as we can. Because majorities matter, because Supreme Court justices matter, because committee heads matter, talking about the Senate, because in Congress, the bigger the majority there, the fewer squishes we have to rely on to get conservative things done in the U.S. House of Representatives, because here in our state, we have a wonderful person challenging the tax-grabbing, fees-aren't-taxes, lying Governor Polis, Heidi Ganahl, a wonderful alternative. And then we've got some other races that I know people are struggling with, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk about all of them as well. Also, absolutely, we'll catch you up or make up for the fact that last week I never talked about Liz Cheney's 187 minutes, one of the biggest January 6th lies out there, that Trump did nothing for 3 hours, 187 minutes. So tired of it. Tina Peters. Another lawsuit has been filed. I've got it right here in front of me. I'm not a part of it. I didn't sign on to it. I didn't know it was coming. Again, I was out of town all week. But people are wringing their hands together and just wailing, she's got to stop. Why does she? No, what needs to stop is the constant violation of the law. The lawsuit that Tina Peters filed against Jenna Griswold, Secretary of State, and every single clerk and recorder looks to me to have significant merit because Griswold did not follow the law in conducting the recount. Instead, she just had the machines recount what the machines already counted. After a couple of the, limited risk audit, whatever it's called. Man, oh man. So we'll go through this lawsuit a little bit. We'll ask all of the people who are just wailing, time to stop. Why don't the people just follow the law? If there's nothing to hide in this election, and $250,000 was raised to pay for an actual recount, why didn't Jenna Griswold follow the law? And I'll explain at least two ways in which she didn't. Before this show is over, I promise you that. Before we get to calls, two more things before we get to calls. Number one, Arizona. New name for Arizona. It's now Carizona. the new Republican gubernatorial nominee, Carrie Lake, who literally, after, again, election shenanigans, Maricopa County, days later, still not done with the counting. Counties around Arizona that within 20 minutes of the opening of the polls ran out of, I wonder why only, Republican ballots. It's unbelievable the tricks that these people try to play. But it is clearly the end of the – well, you shouldn't say that. These people never go away, and things change quickly in politics. But what a smackdown to the McCain machine in Arizona. Carrie Lake appears to have won every single county in Arizona. So many things that are being exposed over the last 2 years, as hard as they've been, as ugly as they've been. The monopolies on education are being exposed as the socialist, sexually depraved, mind-controlling monsters that they are. Thanks to COVID, we saw what was going on in our classrooms. And now the left, they can't hide from it anymore. So instead, they're embracing it. They're driving it forward. Drag queen gatherings for kindergartners, on and on and on. The monopoly in the medical, in big pharma, and the medical association being exposed as more and more people get sick or have their menstrual cycles adjusted or have aneurysms or heart inflammation or blood clotting. 79,000 now admitted adverse reactions in Australia. I'll play a clip of that later on in the show, where the Australian government, after mandating that everyone get the vax, is now going to start paying them to those who are being harmed. They're going to start paying out. All of these monopolies being exposed, and the election monopoly, the big election monopoly. I've said this 1,000 times. Set aside the machines if you can't handle talking about the machines. But the lack of integrity, the lack of transparency, the lack of openness and law-abiding actions to try and get to the bottom and count every eligible vote properly, it's all being exposed. And I, for one, am so grateful. I said 2 things. That was probably 12. But here's the very, very last, and then we'll get to phone calls. Vince Scully, the longtime announcer of the Dodgers, what a voice. What a way the man could create pictures with his words. Just talented beyond belief. Died this week at the age of 94, and, heard all kinds of tributes to him. Here's one that I thought that was particularly appropriate to wake up with Randy Corcoran and our audience here. This is Vince Scully during a baseball game commenting on socialism.
Socialism failing to work as it always does, this time in Venezuela. You talk about giving everybody something free and all of a sudden there's no food to eat. And who do you think is the richest person in Venezuela? The daughter of Hugo Chavez. Hello. Anyway, 0-2.
Yeah. Just a little bit of truth in between, batter-ups. Got a little bit of history on the board today. Hopefully we'll get a chance to play Paul Harvey for you, exposing the global warming, then global cooling, now climate change scam, all the way back in 1992. But I promise calls this segment, and so let's start our phone calls now with Chuck in Tulsa. Chuck, thanks for waiting. Good morning, sir.
Randy, I'll tell you, those Tuesday primaries, our side has to stop listening to those polls where it says 50% of Trump supporters don't support him anymore. The MAGA movement is dead and so forth. Well, I'll tell you what, of course that's the propaganda, but look how Trump just ran the table on all that. And what was the message? The message was the MAGA message. It wasn't the Mike Pence candidate who, only support was around Phoenix. If you looked at that that map, you're right, Carrie Lake. It was every county. Look at up in Michigan, you got Tudor Dixon, which is really, I'll tell you what, a star. I don't even know the proper word for it. But she's going to be a blowout against Democrats come November. But I'll tell you what, this your candidate out there, O'Day, for Senate.
Let me pause you on O'Day just to comment on a couple of things that you've already said.
Okay.
Number one, you have to wonder, will the McCain machine in Arizona get behind Carrie Lake now that she's the nominee, and Blake Masters, the U.S. Senate candidate there in Arizona? Will the Michigan establishment, Republican establishment, the donor and consultant class establishment get behind those MAGA candidates? Because that's what we're told to do. That's what we're expected to do here in Colorado. That's what part of me hopes that we do here in Colorado, because we need to elect Republicans. But will they do the same? Will they put their money where their mouth is in those primary races that they lost? It hasn't proven to be the case in the past, but we shall see.
Yeah, I don't think, to tell you the truth, I don't think they will. What it's going to take is the campaign and try to bring as many people in as you can, because I'll tell you what, it just seems to me like elite Republicans are a bigger danger than what the Democrats can be.
I hear you.
I mean, we have the golden opportunity. We have a chance to take the not just a bite at the apple, but the whole thing. But you have those, I don't know, like the crowd in the morning that says, like the Never Trumper crowd that says, like, about, oh, elections are won in the middle. No. If that was the case, look at the governor candidates that you've had there in Colorado. They should have all won if that was the case. No, look it up in Michigan. It's a perfect example. Rush Limbaugh used to say, conservatism wins every time it's tried. When you send a guy that's coming from the middle, it just never works. You can't get fired up with people like trying to burn the candle at both ends and to please everybody. No, you gotta get somebody who actually believes in putting America first in conservatism.
And Carrie Lake and the Michigan gubernatorial candidate, what's her name again?
Michigan Tudor.
Tudor Dixon. They never back away. They never back down.
No.
They don't let the media control the mantra. The media puts out their dumb question. It gets a one- or two-word answer, maybe. And then, for instance, Carrie Lake just pushed back and said, the first thing we've got to do is secure our border and fix our elections. You know, I mean, she just never moved away from those arguments. And won every single county, apparently, in Arizona. I say apparently because, you know, they can still flip things and you just never know what's going to happen. But, I do agree with you. And you brought up Joe O'Day. And, of course, I've been struggling here, and I've talked to him. I know a lot of people have talked to him about his position on the issue of life. He's not pro-abortion. He is pro-woman's choice. He's not for anything late-term or destructive. I don't know what his cutoff is. And he certainly wouldn't support, you know, the kind of open-ended, doesn't support the kind of open-ended up-to-birth abortion laws that we have in Colorado and that have been proposed in Congress. So those are big, bright distinctions between him and Michael Bennett. But they're still a stumbling block for other people. And then he comes out apparently on a radio show and says that he hopes neither Biden nor Trump will run for president in 2024. And as far as Trump's concerned, I hope he doesn't run. I don't want to see him as president, so I wouldn't support him running again. Wow.
I just read that this morning. My first thought was, you know, if somebody had gotten behind a real conservative candidate for that seat, I believe they could win. I really do, because when you take this soft in the middle, it just doesn't work. They say, oh, in Colorado, you can't. Elections are won in the middle, and we can't be offending anybody, and we're anti-Trump. If you support Trump, you can't win. No. I believe that you can win, because people are not going to vote anymore for this. I can't believe that they're going to.
Well, I'll tell you, if you can't get the votes of your friends, the people who are automatically supposed to be aligned with you, it's hard to imagine you grabbing a whole lot of votes from folks who are skeptical of you in the first place. And right. I, you know, playing devil's advocate, Colorado, a very pro-abortion state, at least that's what our laws tell us. And so perhaps that is a area where Joe O'Dea thinks he can pick up votes. There are people, even in the Republican Party, we hear them every day, anti-Trump, never Trump. They started out never Trump. They love Trump's policies, but God, I hope he never runs again. You know, that nonsense that we also yeah. hear. And maybe he believes that his path to victory is to reach all those folks and give them an alternative to Michael Bennett. But I'll tell you what, if you don't have an energized base, I don't think you win any election anytime, anywhere.
That's exactly my point. Just one quick point. Look at Naomi Wolf. She's a perfect example. She was the biggest lib like on the planet. Look how in 2 years' time, look how she's turned around. She just doesn't want any part of Democrat.
She's been faced with the truth of just how easily they will lie, even at the expense of people's health and lives. It's outrageous. Hey Chuck, great first call. It's good to hear from you. It's been a while, and hope you'll keep listening. Yeah. We've got to pause here so we can talk to our Colorado State Chair Christy Burton Brown when we return on 710 KNUS. It's the way I feel every single day, especially when I get in here and get a chance to spend some time with you. So good to be back from Chicago. It was a wonderful trip. I mentioned Mike Huckabee. I got to head up to Arlington Heights and visit my brother's grave. Couldn't believe he's been in the ground up there for 41 years. And Leroy, I'm sure sorry about the loss of your brother, my friend. It's just... we're all going through so much of that right now, and it never quite goes away, even after 41 years. But it's so nice to visit and spend that quiet time and love and cry and remember, and then we get back to life, right? Isn't that what we do? Anyway, it's 9:27, and there was some great news at the RNC. We'll certainly share some of that with you, but right now, my friend and our Colorado State Chair, Christy Burton Brown, is standing by with a very important announcement. Christy, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. How's it going?
It is going great. We missed you at the RNC summer meeting, and I want you to know that I did notice that you gave your proxy to the Republican National Committee woman, and I will be filing a sexist lawsuit. If I'd like to get the number of the GOP lawyer if you've got it handy.
Oh, you know.
Chris Murray on speed dial.
You've got him.
Yeah, that's right. So, hey, you said that you've got a very big announcement. Before we jump into that, just it's been a while since we've had you on the show. Let's have an update. What is going on just in general? What do you see? There's so much momentum around the country. The enthusiasm at the RNC meeting was off the charts, and the results, just some of the numbers, the numerics look really, really good. What's your sense of Colorado?
Yeah, you're right, Randy. They look really good across the nation. And I think what we have to remember, and you already know this, but about Colorado is that Colorado is such a unique state. We have a lot of very independent-minded people. And by that, I mean people who don't like to just follow trends and go with what might be sweeping the nation. They like to do their own thing, make their own choices. We saw that, for example, in the primary here in Colorado, where despite the Democrats' huge spend, millions of dollars trying to select certain candidates, people made their own choice. And so what I think that means for us as Republicans, as grassroots activists, as conservatives here in Colorado, is that we have to be committed to doing the work until 7 p.m. on Election Day. We can't just believe, oh, the red wave's crashing over Colorado. Well, not unless we bring it. Like, we have to do the work and help our candidates. And so, Randy, I think I've been traveling the state again, talking and working with our candidates, speaking to people who are just so excited about engaging and jumping in. I think it's going to take that kind of work in our state.
It's amazing to think that Colorado could go from a 3-4 Republican minority in the U.S. House of Representatives to a 5-3 majority, and maybe more. I heard Jimmy told me this morning somehow CD6 is in play. But even if it's not, 5-3 would be pretty remarkable with the new CD8. And Eric Odlin was here when I got here this morning, and I know he's working his tail off in CD7. Is it translating into people signing up, showing up, dropping those? I know everybody's tight on money, small donor checks. I mean, what's the sense there?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of volunteers, people even who've never gotten engaged before. And I think you bring up Eric Odlin in CD7. His is actually one of the campaigns that has really engaged people who hadn't been involved before. But they love that he's a newcomer to politics, has the right kind of a real world experience and passion for representing the district. I'm sure he told you about the poll that came out showing him only 2 points down in a district that went 15 points for Biden in 2020. And so, yeah, the engagement on the ground is really great. I do think all of our candidates need more donations and more money, and people are stretched really tight these days. But I know one thing Priscilla, our vice chairman, has been talking about is when people get back their Tabor refund, $750 per taxpayer, you can spare any of that to donate to Republican candidates. They really could use that help.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea. And boy, the little donations add up. They also show momentum because they see more and more people supporting, which can dishearten the Democrats. And part of the reason that Eric Odlin is well within striking distance and that CD8 looks so positively winnable for Republicans is that Hispanics are flipping the Republican way. We're seeing it in special elections around the country, and we're feeling it and seeing it here in Colorado. They've had enough of the immoral and illegal and radical leftist policies of the Democrats.
Yeah, and Randy, I'm sure Ronna probably told you all about it. And I know we've had some conversations about it, too, with you and me and Vera. We were actually about to open a Hispanic Community Center in Thornton in CD8, really engaging with multiple staff members hired already who are going to specifically be in that community talking to voters. Because as you know, CD8, which I agree we will win it this year, is 38% Hispanic.
Well, I plan to be there unless I'm stuck in court or something, and we're pushing on Ronna to show up. She's been to so many of these openings, and it was very interesting in the, I guess off-the-record meetings and some of the stuff that we do with the RNC, but Colorado is definitely on the map, and that's something relatively new in my short tenure at the RNC.
Right, and I think it is because you're seeing, our growing Hispanic population in the state absolutely swinging to Republicans. But then also people, I think, in the more like white educated suburban areas where we have struggled over the last few years, that is largely what Eric Odlin's district is made up of in Jefferson County. And so if you can find candidates and messages that really resonate with those people, that's what happened in Virginia, as you know, and as I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, those people who had in some cases never voted for a Republican before in their life, liked the message on parental rights and restoring, parents' rights to oversee their child's education, no matter where they send their kid to school. They want a party that's going to problem solve with them and fix inflation, affordability, make sure Colorado is a state their kids can grow up in and thrive here. And then, of course, crime. Crime, I think, especially with moms, like I'm a mom, I have two kids. I'm very concerned that crime might come over into my neighborhood and affect my kids if we don't change the leadership at the top that's allowing it to happen.
You know, I've got a couple of decades on you, but you've been very, very, you've been very active in politics since a very young age. So you may have been involved as long or longer than I have been. But did you ever dream, your wildest dreams, that we'd be having to have a conversation here on a Saturday morning about a parent's right to control the education, the destiny of their children?
I mean, I think it's just so unfortunate that there are so many people in society who don't think that's just an obvious conclusion, that they're your kids. You should be able to choose where they go, what they learn. My parents homeschooled me and my brothers. So I'm not new to the idea that parents can step up and make choices. And even when it's hard, you have the right to not let the government decide everything for your kids. That's very ingrained in my family and who I am. But I think seeing so many other people wake up to that and adopt their rights and take them on. And it's not homeschooling for everyone. Some people, you pick a different school to send your kids to, or you testify to school board meetings and make sure you know what curriculum your child's being exposed to. Lots of different answers, but seeing parents take that up, Randy, is sad in one way, but so encouraging in another that we are taking back our rights and running with them.
Yeah, we really have over the last couple of years had an opportunity to expose sort of the monopolies that have been controlling our education system, our medical system, and even in my mind, our election system. And And I that's why I'm constantly saying that I used to always say, well, the pendulum swings, but I just feel like we're on the precipice of this great awakening. And that's why the energy's so high and the momentum continues to shift our way. Now, last Thursday, you sent me a text, and it was just a big tease, is all I can say, a big press conference coming up next Tuesday. It's going to involve statewide candidates, CD7 and 8, State House and Senate leadership regarding the commitment to Colorado. And that's all you would say. So, you know, I had to have you on today to get...
I would have told you more, but hey, radio is better.
It is. And it's fun to wait. And so with great anticipation, what's happening next Tuesday, when and where?
Yeah, so Randy, you probably remember that last August we had our big press conference, which the Democrats, Kyle Clark, all made fun of. Oh my goodness, Republicans doing a press conference in front of a gas station when the air quality in Denver is worse than it's ever been. And then over the last year, what has been the conversation? Gas prices and how Democrat policies have made life unaffordable. So what we're doing this August is having another press conference to re-up that commitment to Colorado, which everyone can read, commitmenttocolorado.com if they haven't seen it yet. But the difference this year is that we literally have every single statewide candidate, our candidates in CD7 and CD8, which are the like nationally targeted seats here in Colorado, and the leader of our Senate Republican caucus and our House Republican caucus, all together, all at the press conference, all saying, yes, as Republicans, we are problem solvers. Here's what we are going to do if the people of Colorado trust us with their vote. And we're not just going to, you know, be up there like the Democrats, like you're the kings, that's how Jared Polis acts, doing this for you. We're going to do it with you as the people of Colorado. And Randy, I think that's something we don't often see as Republicans in Colorado, is that much unity around our candidates leading into an election. And many other candidates, county chairmen, grassroots activists, are going to be there at the conference with us as those people I just mentioned speak and say exactly how we're going to do this together.
Sounds like it'll be too big to have at the same gas station, but it would be something to have the contrast between gas prices now and gas prices even just a year ago. But sounds like a wonderful idea. Yeah. What's the time and location? Is that announced yet?
So we're going to be putting all those details out on Monday, but it will be a Tuesday morning press conference in the Denver area.
Very, very good. So you mentioned grassroots activists showing up, and I've got my Tea Party meeting next Tuesday. A lot of this show is driven by grassroots activism. And, of course, there are rumblings among the grassroots about certain positions of certain candidates, maybe decisions you've made or whatever. Primaries are over. The election is 94 days away. Republican majorities, changing trends matters. What is your message to those who are maybe feeling disaffected by, at this stage in the proceedings, I guess?
Sure. I mean, I can tell you straight up, there are positions of candidates I don't 100% agree with either. I think, honestly, that's part of being a Republican. We are not robots. We are not a machine. We appreciate free will and independent thought and personal responsibility for the positions that we have. And so I think I can disagree with some positions that some of our candidates have and still be realistic about the fact that they are better than the Democrat they are running against. And there are things that they would ensure at the national, at the state level, that do not take away our rights in the way that the Democrats would go and stomp all over those rights if they are reelected. And so I think what we have to do is say, to your point, the primaries are over. Those decisions were made. Some of them we probably love, some of them we might not, depending on who we're talking to. No one gets everything they want, right? But what we have to do at this point is say, go pick the Republicans you can support. Go talk about them. Go vote for them. Of course, I hope our people vote for every single Republican up and down the ticket. But instead, I do hear some people making noise about Republicans they don't like. And I think take that noise, take that passion, and talk about the Republicans you do like. If you can't go campaign for someone in particular, fine, don't. I hope you vote for them. But fine, don't spend your time working for them if you can't. But go find the ones you can. We have over 100 candidates across the state, that's not even counting county-level positions, who need your support, who need your help, and need your voice. So I think that's the stage we're at, Randy. We have to use our voice, our passion, our work, our money to back the Republicans who we can be passionate about instead of objecting to those who we can't.
I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said the best way to predict the future is to create it. And so we have a certain set of cards now that we've been dealt, and it's time to play those cards, and we get to decide, you know, what kind of a future we create out of that. And, you know, the one thing that I try and tell everybody as I struggle through some of these decisions myself is that we have Republicans in office. At least these are people that we can talk to. At least we have majorities. At least we can bring pressure. At least we can hold them accountable at the next election. And of utmost importance here in Colorado is just stopping the unilateral Democrat control and the constant march to the left.
Yeah, I think you're so right, Randy. I think that's a huge issue, is that because we are all driven by like our constitutional principles and what's right, and we understand what we believe is best for our country, and we want to see that sooner rather than later. But I think sometimes in a state like Colorado, it is about making the next step. It's about doing the next thing that we can do. And it may not be everything we want. It may not be perfect, but it's a heck of a lot better than what we have. And then that leads us to the next step of becoming even better and even more closer to those foundational constitutional rights that we all hold dear. So this November, it's about doing the next best thing that we, you know, the next better step to get ourselves closer to the state that we want to live in.
We're running out of time and got full lines, got to get to a break, but just a couple of things really quick. Some of the great information that we got at the RNC, a million, you probably know these stats, a million Democrats have flipped their registrations to Republican just this year so far. The RNC,
it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, the RNC continues to outraise the Democrats. They're more cash poor or more cash rich because we're spending our money right now. Bunch of election integrity litigations, opening up community centers, but we're spending it wisely, and the momentum is absolutely huge. Now, our RAPO Tea Party meeting is Tuesday, so I want to extend the invitation. Any candidates who need help or want to reach out to the real grassroots and base of the party. You know, it's an open door over there. You're welcome to stop by. And then I've got a proposal for you. You have probably heard how after winning every county in Arizona, that they're talking about renaming the state to Carrizona.
Yes, I have.
And I propose that we rename Colorado to Gnolorado.
Wow. Let's make that happen. Right?
I think that's a bumper sticker. I'm going to have to talk to Heidi about that. Gnolorado, it rolls right off of the tongue.
Yeah, well, you know, she did such a great job this week hitting Jared Polis for lying about the Tabor refund and taking credit for the money that the government owes you. So I think Heidi's extremely strong candidate. Got to make sure we get her over the top and Jared Polis, you know, ruin his presidential aspirations, because that's how he should be.
Colorado State Chair Christy Burton Brown, thanks for your time this morning. Hopefully get to see you on Tuesday.
Thank you, Randy.
All righty. It's 9:43. We've got to pause it here. We'll jump right back on the phones with you when we return here at 710 KNUS. It's 9:48, 12 minutes to go until 10 o'clock. 303-696-1971 is the phone number. Going to jump to the phones here in just a second, but another reminder, the rundown, busy couple of weeks coming up for me. And at things I hope you can attend, the Shenango Car Show is tomorrow. Just put into your search bar Shenango Car Show. You'll get the details, the location. If you don't come up with it, send me a text or call me or whatever you need to do, 710knus.com. You can email the show. Would love to see you. Typically 200 to 250 beautiful vintage cars. And just like today, seems like the weather pattern right now in Colorado is the rain holds off. And our car show runs 9 to 2, so I'll bet we will be all done and packed up before any of the Sunday rain rolls in. Hope you'll come and join us. The tickets are going fast for the Arapo Tea Party, about half gone now, and updating them every 20 minutes or so just to see how we're doing. Go to Eventbrite. It's Tuesday, 6:30 to 8:30, South Metro. We'll continue to get ready. You know, when we get to that Tuesday, we will be just 13 weeks away from Election Day. That's just unbelievable. 13 weeks. You know how fast they go right now. And then we'll talk more about this in the 10 o'clock hour with Republican El Paso County Chairwoman Vicky Tonkins. But the El Paso Lincoln Day dinner with Lauren Boebert as your featured keynote speaker is next Saturday. I'm planning to go now. I've got that all worked out. And then the Boulder Lincoln Day dinner is 1 week after that. And I get the honor of actually emceeing that. So I certainly hope you'll come up and say hello. And let's support our friends in liberal left-wing Boulder. Man, what a tough place to be a Republican. All right, at 9:50, let's get back to the phones. Ladies first, Sherry in Lakewood. Good morning.
Hi, Randy. I wanted to discuss an interview I heard of a man called Scott Sahara, S-C-H-A-R-A. And he pointed to a 2021 Medicare trustees report, which evaluates the cost of keeping the elderly and the disabled federally funded. Apparently, 39% of the federal budget goes to those two groups right now, so that's $2.2 trillion a year. And he said something really interesting. He said, I think our government, and especially Congress, knew they had outspent Medicare, Social Security, and all the pensions, and killing us all is all they could come up with to try and cover their tracks. The depletion of the elderly in nursing homes lifts an economic burden from the government and the health insurance companies, which no longer will have to pay for their care. Now, he then directed people to a lady called A.J. DePriest, D-E-P-R-I-E-S-T, and she shows nationwide payouts to hospitals for COVID, the COVID for every COVID admission, and the more Medicare and Medicaid patients in the hospital, the more money involved to those hospitals. They got paid a lot more. And it really varied. Like New York would get $12,000 per COVID admission, but Nebraska got $379,000 per COVID admission. So that's really amazing. And there was an article, I missed it, and I just got it. It was June 19th by the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H. It was Matt McGregor, and he's talking about Tom Renz, the attorney for the American Frontline Doctors. But one of the things that Tom Renz says is that in addition to immunity, hospitals get federal funding through the CARES Act. The laws are structured in a way that incentivizes hospitals to kill people. Wren said the hospitals make more money if you die from COVID-19 than if you recover from it. And I thought that was interesting because I remember a call that you got one time from someone who had mentioned the whole COVID thing being Nazis, and that stuck in my mind. And so the man I talked about is also partnering with a lady called Vera Sharav, C-H-A-R-A-V. But she was saying under the Nazi regime, medicine was weaponized, and the first medically murdered victims were disabled German infants and children under the age of 3, and then it expanded to all the disabled of all ages, including the mentally ill and the senior citizens. And I just thought that was pretty easy to something to look at. And then have you seen the United Nations has now declared war on conspiracy theorists, describing the rise as worrying and dangerous? And it warns that George Soros, the Rothschilds, and the State of Israel must not be linked to any alleged conspiracies. It is on the UNESCO website, UNESCO.org, and it says that us conspiracy theorists target and discriminate against vulnerable groups, although it was the elderly and the disabled second that died from the COVID.
Sherry, you gathered your headlines and your links today, didn't you?
I did. That just makes me so mad because, well, you know, they've been talking about the useless eaters for a long time,
Yeah. But
there is the statistics.
Well, and, you know, Agenda 21 and now Agenda 2030, it's just all there for the eyes to see. Food plants spontaneously combusting, you know, catching on fire all during the summer, underreported everywhere you look. Can't now, you know, get enough fertilizer to raise enough crops. It's the idea that this isn't some kind of a plandemic and a planned takedown of multiple societies is getting harder and harder to walk away from. But I don't know anything about that huge number to Nebraska. I don't know how they could get away with that, 390,000 for a COVID patient in Nebraska. It doesn't make sense to me. But I do know that the Epoch Times or Epoch Times, I never know how to pronounce it, if people are reading the Wall Street Journal or National Review, the local papers, the Washington Compost, any of those, make sure that you get the Epoch Times in there as well, because there's no better coverage on the CCP virus, on China in general, and a whole host of other areas where you'll get the other side of the coin that the, most of the talking heads and certainly the you know, regular corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine, they will never go down those roads, and the Epoch Times has the courage to do so. So I really encourage folks to add that to their perusal when they're trying to figure out what is and isn't so. Sherry, we're out of time, but thank you for the call. Thanks for waiting to weigh in.
Thank you, Randy.
All right, it's 9:55. We'll get back to your phone calls. We're going to spend just a couple of minutes on the other side as well with Vicky Tonkins, the chair of the El Paso County GOP. Only a couple days, 3 days left, I think, to get tickets to see Lauren Boebert, their keynote speaker. It is always such a powerful, impassioned, energetic, and fun event, and the food's good. These Lincoln dinners aren't always great. Food's always been good in El Paso. So we'll talk to Vicky when we come back, and we'll get back to your phone calls at 303-696-1971. Got a lot to do. Want to share some of the resolutions that we passed on the RNC. Talk a little bit about this Tina Peters lawsuit and why the people who are saying she's just got to stop, she's just a sore loser, couldn't be more wrong. If you want us to shut up, then open up the books. Follow the law. But we'll get into that more as well. It's 9:56. I'm Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.